Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message on this fine Lord's Day is this, The Joy Giver. Based on our gospel reading from John chapter 2, especially the first two verses, which read, On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. I encourage you to follow the sermon outline that's provided for you in your bulletin on the blue insert as we consider our theme, The Joy Giver. This morning, it's time for a little Bible trivia, a little quiz about your Bible knowledge. Here's the question. According to the Bible, according to Holy Scripture, what are the three things that are necessary in a Christian's life? That is to say, what are the three characteristics of a person who are a part of the kingdom of God? Well, what do you think? The answer is found in Romans 14:17 that reads thusly, For the kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, many Christians stress the importance of righteousness, of being in a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, this is the principle upon which the Lutheran Church has been built. Others will stress the need for peace, which is best summed up in that Old Testament Hebrew word shalom, which can be defined as personal wholeness, or as we say today, having it all together. But what about that last word in the book of Romans, the word joy? Far too often, we overlook what many have called the outward mark of the Christian. Here are just a few passages. John 15:11, Jesus said, These things I have told you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. Psalm 32:11, Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and be glad. Nehemiah 8:10, my favorite, The joy of the Lord is your strength. And Philippians 4:4, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. There are so many more. Well, what is the importance of joy in a believer's life? And what is the difference between happiness and joy? These questions and others will be addressed in our message today based on John's 2 account of Jesus' first miracle, turning the water into wine at the wedding in Cana. Verses 1 to 2. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited, and he was there with his disciples. Now, Jesus had been invited to this wedding. Why? Who knows? The text doesn't say. But the important thing here is this. Jesus was welcome where people were gathered having a good time. With Jesus, it was never a case of, oh, here comes the preacher. Everybody quit smiling. Look serious. No, Jesus was not a fun killer. He was never a killjoy. But too many people in our world today, I hear them. They say things like this. I don't want to become a Christian. Christians can never have a good time. Where do they get such an idea? The reality is, too often, from us. Our grumpiness or our lack of outward joy can tell other people that being a Christian must be a terrible ordeal. The great English preacher Charles Spurgeon one of my preaching heroes, by the way, once said this. I quote Charles Spurgeon. Christian, when you're talking about God's heaven, your face should glow with such joy that even the angels take note. But when you're talking about hell, your regular face will do just fine. Outward joy is an important part of our witness to an unbelieving world. Now, back with Jesus at the wedding in Cana, verse 3. When the wine ran out, and I love this part, when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no more wine. Wine is a biblical symbol of joy. A very famous saying of the rabbis goes like this, without wine, there is no joy. But listen to what Psalm 104:15 says. Wine gladdens the heart of man. Right, Herb?
Yes.
Isaiah 55:1 says, come, all of you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you who have no money. Come and get wine without money, without cost. Free flowing wine is a biblical symbol for the joy of those who find themselves in the bountiful care of a loving God. Now, at this wedding in Cana, though, we encounter a problem. The problem for the wedding host. He was running out of wine for the guests. This was a sign of the most extreme discourtesy. But besides that, it was a problem because Jewish wedding parties lasted 5 days. It wasn't a matter of just going down to the local wine shop. It wasn't a matter of just quickly making some themselves. This was special wedding wine, and running out of wine meant they were running out of joy in more ways than one, and the host of the wedding was helpless. And so Jesus is asked, and here it comes, all of you mothers, Jesus was actually told by his mother. And how many among us here have never been told something by our mothers? Jesus is told by his mother, they have no more wine. Now, what does this mean in a spiritual sense? The people were running out of joy. Even in the midst of a happy time, a party, and they could not make joy for themselves, Jesus must help. And here's the key point of this whole story. Jesus. Apart from Jesus, there is no real lasting joy. The happiness of this world will come and go. And the happiness of this world will run out. But Jesus is the source of real joy. Jesus is the joy giver. Look around you today. Perhaps look around at your own life. What are the many ways people today are trying to find fleeting happiness, momentary good feelings, to temporarily forget about the worries of their lives? Well, what are your ways? Happiness is not bad. God wants us to be happy. But happiness is a very fleeting emotion. Happiness depends on outward circumstances that so quickly change. When it's sunny out, I'm happy. When it's cloudy, I'm sad. When my team wins, I'm happy. When my team loses, I'm sad. Joy is what God really wants us to have. And here is a biblical definition of joy, and it's on your outline. Joy is the lasting security of being in God's care regardless of outward circumstances. Let me say that again. Joy is the lasting security of being in God's care, regardless of outward circumstances. Joy can be present even when one is not happy. I am spending, and I have spent, quite a bit of time with people who are not happy due to tragedy or illness or death, but whose joy and whose strength in Jesus could never be snuffed out by outward circumstances. Joy is stronger than happy. As the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Listen to that definition again. Joy is the security of being in God's care, regardless of outward circumstances. Jesus is the joy giver, the source of all true joy. How many here today want more lasting joy in their lives? John's account of the wedding in Cana of Galilee tells us that Jesus is the giver of that joy. Jesus chooses, did you notice? Of all the first miracles he could have chosen, Jesus chose as his first miracle the miracle of water into wine. And we, like that people of that wedding party, need to invite him again and again into our lives so that our joy may be full. Back to the wedding, verse 4, Jesus' mother wants him to provide wine for the wedding party. And how does he respond? Verse 4, Jesus said, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Does that sound harsh? It's not necessarily so, because woman is a title of respect. It's much like we would say, "Yes, ma'am." That's the way my mama raised me to address women elderly, older than I. "Yes, ma'am." "No, ma'am." Jesus is really saying a word of respect to his mother Mary when he says "woman." It's the same word he uses when he's on the cross. And he's addressing his mother and John the disciple. Listen to John 19. "When Jesus saw his mother there near the cross and the disciple whom he loved, he said, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple he said, 'And here is your mother.'" At this wedding, Jesus seems to tell his mother that he's not ready yet to do such an attention-getting miracle. Why? The text doesn't tell us. Maybe it's because Jesus, at first, didn't want to start his ministry only known as a miracle worker, an entertainer, a provider of food and drink, so that the only reason people would follow him would be to see what they could get after him and on from him. But there must have been more to his conversation with his mother than what John records, because listen to how the text goes on. "His mother then said to the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.' Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the rites of purification, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, 'Fill the jars with water.' And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, 'Now draw some water out, take it to the master of the feast.' When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, he did not know where it come from. The master went and called the bridegroom." Just picture the scene. Off to the side of the wedding celebration were 6 large stone jars, each holding 20 to 30 gallons of water. They were there for the Jewish rite of purification. And the servants did what Jesus told them, filled them up to the brim. And then they took a sample of the water to the host of the wedding, like the masters of ceremonies. And when he tasted the water turned into wine, he was blown away. No wedding party, even a 5-day affair, could ever use that much wine. Now, I ask you, besides being generous to this lovely young couple who were running out of wine, what else could Jesus have been up to in this water into wine first miracle? Listen to these passages. John 6:35. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. John 15:11, Jesus said, I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and have life to the fullest. Jesus comes, don't you see, not to give us just a little taste of joy, but to fill us with his genuine joy. Jesus alone is the true joy giver. We come to the end of our account, verse 10. The master said to the bridegroom, well, everyone serves the good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine till now. Now, here's a very common custom of the day. Serve the good wine first. And when people have had a few glasses of wine, perhaps a few too many glasses of wine, they won't even care if for the rest of the 5-day wedding party you give them the cheap stuff. But the replacement wine that Jesus provides is of the best quality. The master of ceremony tells the bridegroom that this is truly an amazing and unexpected thing. Jesus provides the real stuff. Jesus provides no cheap or imitation wine. Jesus provides the real stuff. He provides no cheap or imitation joy. The real joy he gives us is this. And will you turn your eyes to where I'm pointing right now and nowhere else? Jesus gives us the true joy, the absolute assurance of the forgiveness of all of our sins. Oh, sinner, your sins have been paid for. My sins have been washed away. At the cross, Jesus gives us forgiveness of sins and the gift of life with Him forever. It's freely provided. And listen carefully. It's freely provided. But it didn't come cheap. It was paid for by the precious life of Jesus. His life given. His blood shed on the cross. There He paid for our sin. There He paid for our rebellion. There He paid for us looking for happiness for at any cost. And Jesus' resurrection, His resurrection on Easter Sunday morning, is His declaration that His gift of joy is eternal for anyone who put their faith in Him and their life into His hands. John ends the account of Jesus' first miracle at the wedding with this last verse, verse 11. This, the first of His signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and He manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. Aha! Here is the climax and the point of this entire account. Jesus does a miracle. And John calls Jesus' miracle a sign. A sign that was to draw people to Him in faith. John's use of the word sign is no coincidence. A sign event means this event must be looked at for more than just face value. A sign is something that points to a reality beyond itself. When you see a sign on the highway and it says curve ahead, that sign is not the reality. It points to the reality that's coming. John says Jesus' first miracle is a sign. Jesus did more here at this wedding than simply supply good wine for a party. Jesus is shown to be the one who brings real and lasting joy to life. Happiness comes and goes. Why, happiness even in religious activities can run out. Just ask those who no longer or who rarely attend worship. But only a living daily relationship with Jesus brings lasting joy. And my friends, if that is what's not preached from this pulpit and believed in this church, then we have no business inviting anybody to worship here. True joy only comes from Him who laid His life down for us sinners and took it up again to give us joy now and joy forever in heaven. Well, true joy only comes from Jesus. And one of my favorite illustrations of this truth, which is the end of our sermon now, comes from a story I've read about a small country church. The service was about ready to begin when in walked a stranger who had never been to worship before. The only empty seats, wouldn't you know it, were the ones right in front of the pulpit. Right here. Well, the stranger looked around at the people, looked around at the building, looked around at the only empty seat, and he looked a little unsure, but he took his seat. He paid close attention and tried to sing the hymns the best he could and follow the order of service as he sat by himself. But he especially listened to the pastor's sermon. Since he was in the front row, the pastor could see he was hanging on every word. He was really paying attention to the sermon. This pastor was getting close to the end of the message. And he was preaching with great joy and passion about the love of Jesus for all sinners. Don't you just love preachers who do that? This congregation was used to their pastor calling them by name, asking questions at the end of his sermon. So at the end of this very impassioned sermon about the love of Jesus Christ, the pastor asked, "Can I get an amen? Can I get a praise the Lord?" And before anybody could speak, the man in the front stood up and he yelled, "Hot dog! Hot dog! Hot dog!" The congregation roared in laughter. The man hadn't been in church long enough to know the words "Amen" or "Praise the Lord," but he was filled with the joy of God and he expressed it with the best way he could. Hot dog. May we, as Trinity Lutheran Church, and as individuals, strive in all that we do to lift up Jesus for all to see. As our church's mission statement says, the purpose of this church is to know Christ and to make Him known. And as we do this, our joy will be multiplied because Jesus is the joy giver. And now it's time for a glass of wine. In Jesus' name. Amen.